the tunnel to make the entrance down the aisle to the greatest championship fight of your life. I know you're in a fight. I know there's a fight left to fight, but I believe you're ready to burst through the tunnel. See, that's the thing. As Boo ministered in prison Friday night, we already win. We just got to show up. We just got to show up. We've read the end of the book. We're going to win. We just got to show up. He's just waiting for us to burst through the tunnel, make the ring walk, and be there for him to give us the victory. How many believe that? And I believe not only that in some abstract way, but I believe in a real tangential, real way. That's for you today. I believe that's for you today. Will you receive that? Because I can just preach over top of you and I can just shoot words and they just go out and bounce off those sound bars back there. Or you can receive them and you can plant them in your heart. Because I believe some of you are in a season where you need a fresh word. You need a word today to get you through this season and take you to the next season of your life. But you got to receive it. You got to have fertile soil and you got to be ready to take what God gives you today and put it down in your heart and take some fruit from it. Amen. And then you're going to feed some other people. We got some scripture to get through. I have a word that's burning in my heart. And what I need your prayer about is just that God gives me the ability to get it out today. Okay? Because that's kind of the challenge up here sometimes is God puts this word in our heart. And the challenge is trying to make sure that I can, as a human being, convey to you, just a fragile human being of flesh, that what God has anointed and put on my heart. That is my challenge. And that's what I desire your prayers for today. Is that a fair thing? Will you pray for me? Will you pray for me? Will you pray for me? Hallelujah. I'm going to start, and I know there's some people still praying. That's great. We do that all the time here. That's a good thing. That's a good thing. But I want to start, before I get into the scripture, with a very serious question. Not really a serious question. It's kind of a funny question, but I need your honesty. Will you be honest with me today? And I will promise you I will not make fun of you, and nobody will look around, and I'm not going to say, oh, wow, you guys are not smart, okay? But I need your honest participation so that I can show us something or God can show us something, okay? So I'm going to ask you some questions, and I want you to be honest about them, okay? Will you do that? Okay, because we like to pretend we're smarter than we are, okay? So here's question number one. I know many of you heard the name Alexander Hamilton, but if I told you to write down on a piece of paper exactly what Alexander Hamilton has done, exactly what he did, exactly what he is famous for, how many would raise their hand and say, I really could not do that? Look around the room. Most of this room could not tell us what, and that's hard. I'm not making fun of you. I was a history major, and I probably had to refresh, okay? He's on a $20 bill. Well, Mama knows that because Mama knows $20 bills. She proved that yesterday on the women's shopping trip. Let me ask you this question. I know many of you heard the name John Adams. I know you've heard that name. But if I ask you to write down on a piece of paper exactly what John Adams did and why he's famous, how many would admit right now I could not do that? All of the, Grant, not Sam Adams, John Adams. Okay, stop. How many could say right now, you might have heard the name, but you really could not tell me who Joe Biden is? If you don't really know for sure, raise your hand. Joe Biden? See, somebody said who? All right, a lot of hands. How many say, you know, I'm really not sure who Mike Pence is? Anybody? Somebody said who? Okay. How about Michael Dukakis? Anybody say, I don't remember who that guy is? A lot of people. Here's the point. Here's the point. These are a lot of famous people in history, and I'm not going to go through and tell who they all are, but some of them were founding fathers. Some of them are people that ran for president. Some of them are people who are actually, our current vice president was one of them, and our last vice president was one of them. But these are some of the patriots that we call founding fathers that, you know, really we have a hard time understanding who those people are. But let me ask you a question. Is there anybody in this room, and be honest, that has no idea who Ric Flair is? There's not a hand up. There's not a hand up. There's not a hand. We don't know who John Adams is. We don't know who Alexander Hamilton is. We don't know who our vice president is. But we know who the nature boy Ric Flair is. So let's do that one more time. Because it feels good to do it. It's all right to feel good. How does Ric Flair go? In fact, the thing about Ric Flair that's pretty interesting, and actually we're gonna get in the gospel, I promise, or the end of the word. But it's the fact that this professional wrestler, which is a guy that used to come to Wise, Virginia, John B. Greer Gym. Okay? And this guy that really, his name's not even Ric Flair. It's Ric Flair or something like F-L-E-I-H-R or something like that. That's his adopted name. He was actually adopted. He was born in Memphis, Tennessee, was an orphan, and he was adopted. And so this cat just started going in rings, strutting around, making the sound. I bet you, Willie, you know who Ric Flair is, don't you? How does Ric Flair go?
Woo!
Even Willie knows Ric Flair, right? But here's the question. How could such a kind of wild figure have become such a cultural icon that everyone in this country, now it's been said that he may be one of the greatest cultural icons. What that means is not that he's done great things. What that means is everybody knows who he is. So if you put a picture on a wall, everybody knows Ric Flair. And if you say Ric Flair, everybody does the sounds you guys did. I didn't even prompt you. Right? In other words, there's something about this cat that is fascinating to so many people that it becomes ingrained in our mind. That we know who he is. And I think that's a fascinating thing, that there's so many people that have done so many great things, we don't know who they are. So I got this little video, just the video, Beck, that I want to play, and then we're going to read the scripture. But I think God's going to use the Nature Boy to make us remember some stuff, okay? Let's watch this video, okay?
That I will never retire. I will only retire when I'm dead in this ring.
Wow. How about that announcement?
Over my dead body. I've got too much juice left. Woo! I'm still Nature Boy. I love this business. I'm going nowhere. Thank you.
That's the Nature Boy, Ric Flair. He said, he ain't going nowhere. He ain't going nowhere, right? So if you have your Bible, I'm going to read from the book of Numbers. We might come back to Ric Flair in a minute. From the book, that's coming up. Book of Numbers, the book of Numbers 14. The book of Numbers 14. What does Ric Flair have to do with this? Let's see. Numbers 14 and 20. Numbers 14 and 20. And if you're able to stand for the reading of the word, I'm sure that'd be appropriate. If you're not, that's okay. If you have it, say amen. Anybody need more time? Somebody? Okay. Roy and I have this thing. When we see each other, what do we do, Roy? Some of y'all don't know what that means. That's okay. That just means we're bros, and we're going to be bros, right? That's right. That means we got business to do, Roy. And that means we ain't retiring, and we ain't quitting, and we ain't stopping when we get hit in the head a few times, Roy. That means we still got business on the other side of the lake, Roy. No matter what we go through in this life, we're going to flash this. That lets us know we still got business to do, right? All right. Maybe we all need to be doing that, right? All right, here we go. Numbers 14 and 20. Then the Lord said, I will pardon them as you have requested. But as surely as I live and as surely as the earth is filled with the Lord's glory, not one of these people will ever enter that land. They have all seen my glorious presence and the miraculous signs I performed, both in Egypt and in the wilderness. But again and again, they have tested me by refusing to listen to my voice. They will never even see the land I swore to their ancestors. None of those who have treated me with contempt will ever see it. But, my servant Caleb. Caleb, say Caleb, has a different attitude. Caleb is a little bit different than the rest. He has a different attitude than the others have. He has remained loyal to me, so I will bring him into the land he explored. His descendants will possess their full share of the land. Now turn around and don't go on toward the land where the Amalekites and the Canaanites live. Tomorrow you must set out for the wilderness in the direction of the Red Sea. You may be seated. Say, there's something different about Caleb. Say, there's something different about Ric Flair. This story about Caleb, and many of you have heard me preach about Caleb. It's Caleb and Joshua, they're kind of treated together because they're kind of in the same situation. But how many know who Caleb is? You know who Caleb is in the Bible. He's a warrior. He's a fighter. He's willing to fight. There's something about a fighter that God loves. There's something about an old fighter that God loves. There's something about a guy who just takes punishment and keeps coming forward that God loves. That's what God's about. That's what this man Caleb was. He was a fighter. But there was something from the beginning different about Caleb. And I say to you today that there's a world out there with a lot of stuff going on and a lot of people misfocused on a lot of issues. They put in their trust in idols of different things. And I'm not talking about things you might even think. Politics are idols. We get in these disputes about politics and we make things our idols. Shopping, hobbies, there's all kinds of idols. But there's something different about you today. I believe all my heart. There's something different about you. You have a purpose. And you're planted here for this reason, that there's something in you, and you may not fully understand it, and you may not be walking in it yet, but there's something different about you. There was something different about Caleb from the start. We look back, these people, a whole group of people, they were in Egypt. Egypt was what? A place of bondage. These people were enslaved against their will, but understand, they were taken there initially by God for their protection. Initially, there was famine in the land. They went to Egypt seeking refuge. God gave them refuge. God ministered to them in that place. The problem was they stayed in that place too long. Sometimes you got to turn the page, right? Sometimes you got to go on to the next step. They were in a place that was supposed to be a temporary place for them to recover and get strong. And they stayed too long, and that place became a prison. What's that? They missed the bell. You see, sometimes a prison is a good place. Sometimes it's a place where it gets your attention. Sometimes it's a place where you change your direction. But the problem is, if mentally you stay there, that place becomes your bondage. We create our own prisons. You know that? Yeah. It's okay to clap. We create our own prisons. I know I go into prisons to minister, but I'm saying we create our own prisons. Because I believe some of the most imprisoned people in this world are walking the streets and going to Walmart and going to work every day. We create our own prisons. So this group of people, they were enslaved against their will. What did God do? God miraculously got them out. He sent plagues. There were so many examples of God's power. Right? We're craving that for that. We're a nation that craves to see manifestations. There are ministries that just, oh, crave manifestations. I love manifestations. I love seeing people healed. But let me tell you something. When you see somebody healed, that's great. That boosts the faith that people have weak faith. But here's the problem. They're all going to die again. Unless he comes back forth again, you're all going to die. That's the most temporary miracle in the world is a healing. It's a great miracle because it boosts the faith of those who have weak faith. But hear me tell you something. When Jesus said, greater things shall you do, you know what he's talking about? We have the power to lead people to Christ, which is eternal healing, which is eternal salvation. They don't die again. They live forever. It's eternal healing. That is greater than just having a leg grow. We see legs grow, and there's nothing wrong with that. But the leg that grows will one day be put in a casket. But the heart that gives herself life to Jesus shall live for eternity. That is a greater thing. And I'm all about healing. My brother was healed a minute ago at an altar. And I believe in that. And I believe God uses that for us with weak faith. But that's the reason. It's because we got weak faith. He came so that we could be reunited and he would have a bride and we could live forever with him. Not just so my ankle could get fixed. So these people were enslaved and God showed them all these miracles And you would think, after seeing all those miracles, they'd say, God, whatever you want, man. You'd think, Clay, when God shows up and gives you so many miracles, you just say, whatever you want, God. Not me anymore. Never me again. I mean, you think, when miracles happen in your life, when you see power, supernatural things, you would think these people would get it. You'd think they'd be like, God, we'll go anywhere with you. We'll fight anybody with you. And he led. Could you imagine? They had to have enough faith, these children of Israel. They had to have enough faith to pack up everything they had, leave their life behind. I know it was slavery, but they had a life. They had homes. They had eat. They had food. They had to trust God to pack up everything and walk step after step, knowing that Pharaoh's army could come behind them and kill them. It takes a lot of special kind of person to walk knowing there's enemies behind you in all directions around you. And so they get to the point of the Red Sea. You guys know the story? They get to the point of the Red Sea, and there's this huge sea in front of them. There's a problem. They don't see how they can get through. But, you know, they've just seen God do miracles. But they're still scared. They still doubt. And here comes this massive army behind them, trapped, like we often feel. A movable object in front of us and an attacking enemy behind us. How many knows that's how it feels sometimes on this earth? Immovable objects in front of us, things we don't know how we in our own strength can get through, and we can't. And aggression behind us. Enemies behind us. Noise behind us. And then what did God do? He opened up the sea. He opened up the sea. The immovable object opened up. And those people walked through on dry land. That's the same people that would wander in the wilderness, that would betray him, that would question him. Those same people that God wanted to wipe out walked through the sea on dry ground with the sea stacked up on both sides. What a miracle that must have been. What a miracle that must have been. You say, wow, if I saw that. Some of you have already saw that. Some of you have come through some stuff that the sea just opened up for you to even just be here today. For you to be here today. For you to be here today. You got 23 more years, Jack. You got 23 years. You're not supposed to be here today. They walked through on dry ground. The enemy came behind them. God said, it's not enough. I'm just going to show off a little bit. I'm not just going to get you through the immovable object, but I'm going to shut the mouth of your enemies, and I'm going to destroy the enemies that pursue you, and I will crush them in the Red Sea. In one day, to a group of people with no faith, God split a sea, let them walk through on dry ground, and destroy the greatest fighting army that history had ever known to that point. In one moment, one day. You would think those people, after that, would say, God, man, you want me to go to the moon, we'll go to the moon. Whatever you want, God. You want me to go do something, I'm in. You think, right? Be kind of... It would almost be comical. It would almost be like a Jerry Lewis movie. If they were so goofy that after all that, they still wanted to be stubborn in their own ways and disbelieve. That'd be real radical, man. And then God, when he got them through, he led them by what? A pillar of cloud, a pillar by fire. Man, they're seeing supernatural stuff. They're seeing God on a mountain. They're seeing supernatural signs. They're seeing feeding. They're seeing all kinds of stuff, man. They're seeing supernatural things every day in their midst. But you know what? For them not to obey God or to have confidence in their God, they must have gotten so accustomed to God's blessings that they got used to it, and they failed to see the miraculous in it. See, sometimes you see the same miracle over and over and over and over again. And God blesses you over and over. You can, if you're not careful, start to fail to see the miracle in it. And you have to start looking for fresh miracles. It's not enough that somebody gets healed of cancer. We want to see a leg formed. It's not enough that somebody lives forever and ever and ever because they are saved now. And that's something they didn't have anybody in the Old Testament. at that time. It's not enough. We got to see something fresh. It's not enough to see people delivered from addiction. We got to see something fresh. There wasn't even addiction like this in the Old Testament. Could you imagine? This is a powerful thing. You know what they would have called it? And there's nothing wrong with it. Maybe it's accurate. They would have said that we were delivered from a demon. That's what they would have said. And maybe you are. Maybe you have been. Maybe that's what has went on. I don't know. But I know it's a miracle. It's a miracle. It's a miracle. I don't know. But I know it's a miracle. And I know sometimes we just look for fresh miracles. And we fail to take how important or how awesome what the miracles we see are every day. It's a miracle you can move, Steve. So what? You got a few more inches to go. You'll get there. You'll get there. But you're a miracle. Dad said that donkey was a miracle. Listen, I've been seeing God move stubborn people in church houses for a long time. And I'm one of them. So these people had seen all these miracles and they get up to the point. And that's where I think a lot of us are. God gets us so far. He gets us out of our most terrible situations. And we see miracles in our life. And we get blessed in our life. And we get right up to the point where we're about to burst through the tunnel. We're about to take our ring walk down the aisle and win the championship, win the prize, walk in destiny. Because God has a destiny for you. And we get right to that point. And the enemy starts whispering in our head. And we start doubting God. And we start not realizing who we are. Our identity's messed up. And we talk about that time and time again. We don't know who we are. Those men, Moses sent 12 men to the land to scout it and see, could they take it? Now, God has already defeated the greatest army of all time at that point. God has already opened an ocean. God has already given them miracles and miracles and miracles. It took a whole nation, several million people out of slavery and had them walk to the point of their blessing, the point of their destiny, the land they'd always been promised, the destiny, the purpose, the place of purpose that they were born for. You were born for a place of purpose. And some of you are right up against the edge of it. But you're discouraged. And you're doubting God. Right? Can we get real? It's all right, right? We got to be real. And so he sent 12 men in. And 10 of them come back and said, oh, those men are too big for us. Those men are too big for us. That's right. We're a bit mere grasshoppers. In other words, their perception. See, Caleb and Joshua, the other two men, saw the same thing. They witnessed the same thing. You see, there's all kinds of people in this church today that saw people dancing and praising and saw the presence of God. Everybody in this room saw the same thing. But your perception, your filter, determines how you view it. You can have such a restrictor plate on your eyes, on your mind, that you can prevent being touched by what God is doing because you don't believe. Meanwhile, you are comfortable in your dysfunction. So these men, these 12 men, all saw the same problem. And see, that's the thing. I talked to my brother Michael, and I spend a lot of time talking sometimes, and we talk about this. It's one thing to counsel somebody else because your perception on that person is easy. But when you look at yourself, it's a harder situation. Physician, heal thyself. I can give you advice about you. When you tell me your problems, it seems simple to me. But when I have my own problems, I can't really figure it out. Right? Perception is important. So those 12 people saw the same thing. 10 of them said, it's too big and we're too small. So the problem wasn't that the men were really too big because all 12 saw the same thing. The problem was their self-perception of their size was off. They saw themselves as small. They saw themselves as weak. They saw themselves as depressed. They saw themselves as a loser. They saw themselves as an addict. They saw themselves as too good to do anything wrong. They saw themselves as lazy. They saw themselves as small. The problem wasn't the man was too big. It was they perceived themselves too small. Because it's all relative, right? I'm a big dude. Jerry said that when he walked in. I just was born big. I ate a lot or something. God made me big. But you put me beside Andre the Giant, I'm not too big. I'm a small man. It's all relevant, isn't it? So those men weren't too big. That wasn't the problem. It was that their identity of themselves was too small. And here's what I started to realize. We talk about identity a lot in this church. But here's what I started to realize. The problem isn't just that we have a bad identity, self-identity of ourselves. That is a symptom of the problem. Do you know what the actual problem is? We don't identify or understand who our God is. Get me here. I know. Stay with me. If you know who your God is, if you have an identity of who He is, you will know who you are. If you realize how big and powerful your God is, you can't see yourself as small. If you really know who He is, if you really know His heart, if you really know His purpose. The Bible said Caleb had a different attitude. You know why Caleb had a different attitude? He saw those men as lickable. He said, they're not mean anything compared to us. They can't stand to us. He saw the same men. He says, they can't stand up to us. Why? Do you think Caleb was so much bigger and so much stronger? Or do you think maybe he remembered that the God who was with them was the God that split the sea open? That the God who was with them was the God that crushed Egypt? That the God who was with them led them by fire at night? Maybe that's why he identified himself as strong, because he identified his God as strong. You don't have to think you're the baddest girl or the baddest man on this planet. Mike Tyson, they said, was the baddest man on the planet. You don't have to identify yourself. In fact, if you do, you're a fool, because there's always somebody waiting to knock you out. You'll find out as you age, your muscles only take you so far. Your good looks will only take you so far. Your charm will only take you so far. Your intellect will only take you so far. But if you realize who your God is, because when you realize who your God is, that He's the God that parts seas, that He's a God that loves you so much He sent His Son to hang on a tree, that He's a God that defeated death, hell, and the grave, that He's a God that resurrects souls here every Sunday, that He's a God that is so big and so powerful, but so intimate and so small that He climbs down on you and loves you and gets in a little whisper in your ear. When you realize who your God is, you're not scared. That was what was different about Caleb. He realized who his God was. And God even said that. It's a powerful thing. Could you imagine if God looked down on a crowd of people and said, man, those people. But that Jenny, there's something different about her. Oh, wouldn't you like to hear that? There's something different. It's not that he made him any better. It's attitude. We have control of attitude. As old coach Clay, as an old softball coach, I used to say, there's two things you have control over, attitude and effort. Other things you can't control. You can't control when you're going to face a 90-mile-an-hour pitcher. You can't control how good the other team is. You can't control the weather conditions. You can't control the field. But you can 100% of the time control your attitude and your effort. What God said was his attitude was different. He saw the same thing, but he had a different attitude about it. And Caleb, so what God did was, you know, God wanted to destroy them all. And that's why prayer is a powerful thing. Read your Bible. It's one of the greatest stories. Because God said, I'm going to destroy them all. And one man stood in the gap and talked God out of it. That's pretty powerful. That's a relationship. When you've got a relationship with God, where you can talk him out of something, that's pretty powerful. And he talked him out of not destroying them. But he said, these people, though, won't enter the promised land. Except the two. Because there's something different about them two. There's something different about them two boys. And they'll get through. So flash forward. Flash forward. We're kind of moving as quick as we can. Flash forward 45 years. 45 years. Caleb had done nothing wrong. He knew who his God was. He knew he could lick them people. He knew he could take that thing on. He knew he could defeat that problem. He knew he was ready to go into his destiny. But he had to wait 45 years because the people around him weren't. Now, a lot of times when we preach, and I'm going to read in a minute Joshua and finish things up, tie things up. A lot of times when we preach about this, we really make Caleb look impressive because he still had a lot of fight when he was older. That's really not what's impressive. Because if you know who your God is, if you got a breath, Billy Graham would have, I believe all my heart, that he would have fought as much as he could have fought on his deathbed. as much as he had cognizance, which I know he deteriorated. When you know who your God is, you'll fight. So it's not the age that impressed me about Caleb. Here's the thing that impressed me about Caleb. He took a lot of punishment. And you all know my saying, Mike Tyson. Roman got me a shirt. Thank you, Roman. It says, everybody has a plan until you get hit in the head, hit in the jaw. It's one thing when Caleb was all gung-ho, ready to go after that promised land. But after 45 years of being punished for something he didn't do. 45 years of how much resentment could he have had? How much temptation could he have had to have resentment? How much temptation could he say, God, haven't I served long enough? When's my turn? God, it's been too long. God, my time, my time, my time. Could he have been tempted to do that? How much discouragement could he have had when he didn't go as fast as he wanted? 45 years is a long time to wait for something. Could he have resentment? Could he have been tempted to get depressed? In other words, he got some bad blows. He took some licks. He took some punishment. 45 years of it. Blow after blow after blow. Day after day as he's tired. As he had to wait for every one of them to die out. In a new generation, he took so many blows. He took punishment. It's not that he was 85 years old by the book of Joshua. It's the fact that all the discouragements and all the punches in the jaws, he still knew who he was and he still knew who his God was. He didn't get off course. He didn't let the blow take him out. He didn't let the discouragement, he didn't let the grumbling. They were his own people, wanted to stone him. They mocked him. They didn't like him. We want to be so popular. But in my reading of the Bible, none of the popular people are ever in God's will. That's the problem. All the people everybody loves are never in God's will. Jesus sure wasn't. Spit on, mocked, beaten. Give us Barabbas. He wasn't appreciated. So a lot of discouragement, a lot of licks. And it made me think, and that's why really we get back to Ric Flair. And I'm going to finish up in Joshua, but it made me think of the old fighter, Caleb. God loves an old fighter. Put up that picture, Beck. I was flying the other day, and some of you guys have seen this. And I happened to get to sit beside, look who it is, the nature boy Ric Flair. No, that's where this sermon, God started talking to me immediately. So I was on this plane, and there was the old nature boy. And you know, and I'm pretty cocky in a way. I mean, God works on me on that. I hope. Jenny says, I think he tries to. And so here's the thing. A lot of times when I see celebrities, I act like it's no big deal. Or I'll tell somebody about it, maybe, but I won't get over and act like it's a big deal. Because I'm too big for that. But not for a cultural icon that everybody in this room went, woo! Because there's something different about Ric Flair. How'd Ric Flair go? So I sat down beside Ric Flair. I started talking. First thing I noticed about Ric Flair, well, I'll tell you a few things I noticed about Ric Flair. One, he still wore Italian shoes. No socks. No socks. He still had a real silk suit on. Just a fly. You see, I got a sweater on, a pair of khakis or something. He looked sharp, but he was beat up. I don't know if you can tell in that picture, but he ain't as pretty as he once was. And I'm not saying that in a bad way. I'm just saying he's been beat up. He's took some punches. He's took some licks. And you guys know that's a scripted entertainment business, but they take the real punches sometimes. A lot of blood, a lot of injuries, a lot of licks. And he'd had a surgery. If anybody knows his story, his personal life's been a little messed up, and he's had some kind of surgery. I don't even know what it was, but he was guarding his abdomen. And he even told me he was bandaged up. We talked. But he was still Ric Flair. The voice was the same. The personality was the same. Yeah. The independence. I mean, he wasn't that strong. But he got up. Like, no, he had his girlfriend or whatever she is with him, wife, I don't know. But he got up on his own. He wanted to go to the bathroom to play. He just got up and went up. I'm Ric Flair. He talked like Ric Flair. He talked with that big voice, that big, deep voice. And I sat down and started talking to him. And I said, you know, Because it, in a personal note for me, I don't just see Ric Flair, I see my grandparents. Because, see, even though I got too old and too big for that wrestling until Jake come along and got excited about the wrestling, show me your shirt, Jake. Stand up. Stand up. They can't see it when you squatted down there. Look at that. Kids today still like Ric Flair. But at a time when my parents were busy, my dad was busy doing ministry, I spent a lot of time with my grandparents on weekends, and we watched. My grandpa grew up in the 40s and 50s when everybody wrestling was like a huge deal. And so we'd sit on the couch and we'd watch wrestling. He'd take me to wrestling. And I've been to Wise. I've been to all these places he'd take me. And so I began to sit down and talk to Ric Flair about my grandpa, about my memories of Ric Flair. And you know, some celebrities you meet and they let you down because they really don't care. But he seemed interested. He asked me, he goes, "Where did you watch me fight?" So I watched you fight at Wise, at a little college gym. Oh, yeah, I remember Wise. I remember that. We started talking about some of the people he had fought. And he had this conversation with me, right? I told him about Jake. I said, "Man, my son would be flipping out, man, if he knew you, I was here sitting with you. I wish he could be here right now." He said, "Really, that's great." And I said, "Can I take a selfie?" "Yeah, yeah." He said, "I can't really stand up good right now, these bandages." I said, "Well, let's take it sitting down." I said, "Okay." And he said, I got up to leave, and I said, "It's been an honor talking to you, or a privilege talking to you." He said, "No, the honor's mine." He said, "I'm very honored that you talked to me." I thought, wow, man, that's a pretty cool thing. So what I do, I pulled out a wooden cross, and I gave Ric Flair a cross. And I said, "You hang on to that." I said, "That's the most valuable thing." And you know what he said? I don't know what he did, but he said, "I will." He said, "Thank you, I will." So that was my Ric Flair story. But I started thinking, there's something different about Ric Flair. That we see wrestlers all over this place, you know? Some wrestled longer, but why is he different? And I started thinking about that. And what God showed me is why he's different is, he maintained his identity at all times. Now, I'm not talking about a spiritual identity. I'm not asking you to mimic his life outside the ring. But I'm saying inside his profession, he has always been Ric Flair. He knows who he is. He walks it in the airport. He walks it probably from his bedroom to his bathroom. I bet you when he gets up in the morning, he, woo! Because he knows who he is. Inside that wrestling ring, inside that life he's created for himself, he knows who he is. And that makes him special. Other people come in and out of character, and we don't really pay attention to them. You know, one minute they're acting like this on stage, and you interview them off stage, and they're like Nikita Koloff, like the Russians or something, right? They're, "Oh, we'll break you." But you talk to them, and they're like, "Yeah, I'm from Minnesota." But Ric Flair never comes out of character because he knows who he is. He knows who he is. And that's why if you look up, if you ask Siri, who's the greatest professional wrestler ever, I promise you, she'll say Ric Flair. Because Ric Flair knows who he is. There's something different about Ric Flair. Say, there's something different. Ric Flair goes, what? So we look forward to the book of Joshua. Because we're going to come back to Caleb. 45 years later, he probably looked a little more like Ric Flair. Maybe back the first time, he might have had the big locks and he might have had the robe. But he probably had a few licks after 45 years of wandering around the wilderness. He had a lot of discouragement opportunities, a lot of depression opportunities. He had a lot of things go wrong for him that he didn't want to happen. And here he is on the edge of going in. Finally, after 45 years, he's at the place that he wanted to go 45 years earlier. He's at the point of his destiny. He's at the ring walk. He's at the tunnel. And that's where some of us are today, and maybe all of us. We're at the tunnel waiting to burst through. But you got to know who you are, and you got to know who your God is to know who you are. So the book of Joshua says this. I'm going to read it. It's Joshua 14. You don't have to stand because I'm just going to go. Joshua 14 and 6, so if you want to make a note, if you're taking notes. A delegation from the tribe of Judah, led by Caleb, the nature boy. You We'll never forget Caleb anymore. We're going to call him the nature boy. Son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, came to Joshua at Gilgal. Caleb said to Joshua, man, these are two old warriors. This is Ric Flair and Hulk Hogan meeting one-on-one years later, man. They're warriors. They're meeting years later, 45 years later. They looked at each other. And Joshua says this, or Caleb says this. Remember, Joshua. Remember what the Lord said to Moses. Do you remember, Joshua? Do you remember Lost Creek? Do you remember what you said at this altar? Do you remember after your miracle? Do you remember the promises you made? Do you remember what God spoke to your life? You've got to remember sometimes. Remember what you said in that prison? Do you remember those promises to God? Do you remember your darkest hours? Do you remember? Come when things get going good, or we take a few licks, or we take a few punches, sometimes we forget. You take a few punches. Sometimes you forget what God brought you from. What God brought you from. He said, remember, Joshua, what Moses said? You remember before all this anger, all this anguish, I mean, all this heartbreak, all these people died, 45 years of wandering. You remember before all that? Do you remember what God promised us? Preacher, do you remember what God told you on a mountain? You remember? You remember when he said it wouldn't be easy and people wouldn't like you? You didn't know what it meant then, did you, preacher? Do you remember? Joshua, do you remember what Moses said? The servant of the Lord. When we were at Kadesh Barnea, I was 40 years old when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to explore the land of Canaan. I returned and I gave an honest report. But my brothers who went with me frightened the people from entering the promised land. You got to watch who you hang around with, because there's people in your life that are frightening you, scaring you from entering your promised land. They're telling you can't do it. You're telling you it's nuts. They're telling you this place is nuts. They're telling you you can't commit that kind of time, that we're obsessive, that we're a cult, that you just can't commit that kind of time. You need to live your life. You need to live your life. Pick a church you can go 30 minutes a week. You're all right. Spend your time watching movies and doing that's good things. Don't be able to be extreme. Who wants to be extreme? Let's just look like everybody else. There's something different about Ric Flair. He's extreme. Something different about Caleb, and he said, but for my part, I wholeheartedly follow the Lord, my God. I knew who I was. I knew who my God was. So that day, Moses solemnly promised me the land of Canaan, on which you were just walking, will be the grant of land and that of your descendants forever. Because you wholeheartedly follow the Lord my God. God said through Moses, Caleb, this is your destiny. And week after week, text after text, message after message, song after song, God is pumping into you, into our hearts, my heart, my ears, week after week, that you are in your destiny. Your destiny's here. You're waiting to burst through the tunnel. That you have purpose. That he has a purpose in you. He has a destiny in you. Because there's something different about you. But Caleb says this as he's talking to Joshua, the two old warriors. They were an endangered species. They were the last of their kind. There was only him and Joshua. The only dudes left. That's the last two dudes standing. Them two boys, 85 years old, and he looks at Joshua and he says, now as you can see, the Lord has kept me alive and well as he promised all these 45 years since Moses made that promise. And even while Israel wandered in the wilderness, through all of your discouragement, through all your pain, through all of your heartache, through all the detours in the road, many of which we caused ourselves, but through it all, he said, today, I'm 85 years old. But it's more than I'm 85 years old. It's I've wandered 45 years and took all the punishment. I've been on the circuit 45 years. I've took all the punishment. I took every blow. I've took every body slam. My back's hit the mat so many times. I've cut myself so many times. I bled out. I gave it all. And through it all, here I stand. 85 years old. Verse 11. But I'm as strong now as I was when Moses sent me on that journey. I'm still the nature boy. I'm still Caleb. I'm still Lost Creek. I'm still Clay. I'm still Michael. I'm still Regan. I'm still Jody. I'm still Kevin. I'm still Rick. I'm still Jerry. I'm still Billy. I'm still Pastor R. And I'm as strong now as I ever was because my God is still on the throne. Because you wandered 45 years, you did not forfeit your purpose. What you do in spite of your wandering is what determines if you forfeit your purpose. It's the ability on the other side of that wandering to stand up and say, I still know who I am because I know who my God is. You're going to wander some in the wilderness in this life because you're not perfect. And sometimes it'll be your own doing, and sometimes God will put you through a wilderness season. Caleb didn't do nothing. But just remember this. On the other side of that wilderness, remember that word on that word you got, Michael? On the other side of that wilderness, it's a tunnel. Sometimes you just got to be willing to burst through the tunnel and walk down to the ring and say, I'm still Caleb. And my God is still Yahweh. And my God is still on the throne. And Jesus Christ, who defeated death, hell, and the grave, is sitting right beside him. And he lives in me. And the same power that raised Christ from the dead lives in me. And he's sitting behind his Holy Spirit who dwells in me. I don't wait to get bumped by the Holy Spirit. I want to walk every day under the leadership of the Holy Spirit. I want to give people goosebumps when I walk by them to Walmart. Not just when we drum up some awesome songs, and I love getting drummed up with awesome songs. I love it. But we got to have that same feeling on Monday and Tuesday. When we're in the airport, we've had surgery, we're still Ric Flair. You know who you are. You can't turn it on and turn it off. When the cameras are on, I'm Ric Flair. But when I'm in my room at night, I'm just Joe Blow. No, you're Ric Flair. And Ric Flair goes, what? See, you ain't going to forget Caleb. He said, today I'm 85 years old and I'm as strong now as I was then when Moses sent me on this journey. And I can still travel. And I can still fight as good as I could then. So give me the hill country. What he's saying is this. There's a lot of land here we can take. And if I'm older, maybe I just say, give me the easy fight. Give me just a little easy piece of land. I'm getting old. You know, give me an easy fight. He said this, Clay. You give me the toughest fight. You give me the biggest boys on that hill. And I'll take them. Because I'm still Ric Flair, right? Because I'm still Caleb. My God is in control. And I will take on any of them suckers. He said, give me the hill country where the giants reside. Because I know who I am and I know who my God is. Because he was still Caleb. He may have took the licks. He may have had some problems. He may have had some disagreements from time to time. He might mess up sometimes. His God was still in control. His God was still in control. He said, give me the hill country. The Lord promised me. You remember as scouts, we found the descendants of Anak living there in great walled towns. Those were giant people. But if the Lord is with me, I will drive them out of that land just like the Lord said.
If the Lord is with you, you'll drive every giant out of that land there is. You'll defeat every demon. You'll defeat every enemy. You'll defeat every problem in front of you. If you know who you are, you still got to fight giants. Nobody ever said you come to church, ain't no giants. After all that work, he still had to go fight a bunch of giants. He could have said, God, come on, man. I'm too old. Not just old, it's just been beat up. See, I don't want to make it just about age because there's 20-year-olds in here. You've been beat up. And you can identify with Ric Flair or Caleb because you might be young, but you took the punishment. And that punishment makes you, as your enemy whispers in your ear, want to give up and tell you're not who you are. God says you are. But I say God says you're a son of the living God or a daughter of the living God. I say God says you're more than a conqueror. I say God says you're the first. You're the head, not the tail. I say God says you can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens me. I say God says in the end you will be with him in paradise. I say God says that greater things shall you do than even Jesus did here. That is what my word of God says. I say that God doesn't make junk. I say that God does not make fodder. He didn't make you to occupy a space on a seat. He made you to change your world, to change your neighborhood in which you live, to change the job in which you work, to change the country in which you fight, to change the people around you. Because you're still Caleb. Brother Billy, you're Caleb, brother. You're Caleb, brother. This man right here. How old are you, Brother Billy?
86.
He's got Caleb licked, but he's still fighting. He's still fighting. He's got Caleb licked by 1 year, but he's still fighting. Bad weather and all, good weather and all. If he's not visiting somebody, Brother Billy's here holding down his spot. He is playing his position. He's playing his position. You got to play your position. So, I don't know if anybody else sees the correlation between Ric Flair and Caleb, but I sure do. Even though Rick maybe spiritually isn't where Caleb is, but he's sold out to his identity. And what God is seeking for us to do is to sell out to an identity so that when we get punched, we don't quit. You know why people quit? They lose track of who they are and who their God is. They come in here all full of whoo. They get pumped up on an altar experience, as we all do, and then the worship music gets in their mind, again, you know, feet, and they start dancing. That's cool. I love it. It's got to be in your heart, too. But what happens, then they get disappointments. Yeah, like the reality of that it's not Disney World. It's Lost Creek. It definitely ain't Disney World. It's rated R. It ain't Disney World. Ain't old Yeller. My dog don't talk to me. He licks on me. He barks at me. He don't talk to me. Life's real. And there's giants. But if we know who we are, you'll lick every one of them. Might not be your plan. Might not be your timing. It won't be. Promise you. It'll be his timing. But you keep going. Don't you get discouraged when things happen. There's bumps. Can't quit. You can't quit. You can't quit. You can't quit. So I watched this movie a long time ago, and I think Odie or somebody's got my copy. Odie. I don't recommend the movie to you because I think it's about 2006 or so. I don't know when it was. It's an old movie, but I don't recommend it because it's pretty real. And most of y'all don't like that. And that's good. You probably shouldn't. But I have a quote. I have a quote from the movie, and the movie is called "The Wrestler," stars Mickey Rourke, and I think it won an Academy Award. But it's a movie, basically loosely. They don't claim it's based on Ric Flair, but it's kind of like Ric Flair. It's about this old wrestler, way past his prime, and he just can't quit being Ric Flair. You know, his health's kind of beat up, and the doctors say you're going to die of a heart attack, but he don't know any other way to live. He's just got to be Ric Flair. And if he dies that way, he dies that way, but that's just who he is. He knows who he is, and he can't quit being who he is. And there's a quote at the end of the movie as he stands in the ring of his last fight.
He walked down that, he burst through that tunnel at the end of the movie and took one last ring walk. I think that's where some of us are. We're ready to walk. We're ready to walk down the aisle and burst through that tunnel. And he stood in the ring and he grabbed the mic, and it was kind of like that video I showed. See, y'all already forgot about it because we're all woo. But there was a video where Ric Flair, if you paid attention, said, "I can't stop being who I am. I ain't quitting. I'll die when they carry me out of this ring, but I can't quit." You got to have that kind of faith in your God that they'll carry you out of this place, but you ain't quitting. No matter what heartbreak, no matter what heartache, no matter what discouragement, no matter what things happen, no matter who whispers in your ear, but you ain't quitting. Because quitters quit, and you're better than that. And he stood in the ring and he said this: "I just want to say to you guys all tonight," and we're closing, "thank you for being patient." Ric Flair says what? "I just want to say to you all tonight, I'm very grateful to be here." That's not how Ric Flair acted to me that day. He's still grateful that people come up to him after all these years and sit down and talk to him. "A lot of people told me I'd never wrestle again, but that's all I do." There's a lot of people in your head says you can't do this, but this is what you got to do, Sal. You got to keep playing, my brother. That's all I do. Listen to this. Some of you can relate to this. You know, if you live hard and you burn the candle at both ends, you pay the price for it. You know, in this life, you can lose everything you love and everything that loves you. You can. Now, I don't hear as good as I used to. And I forget stuff. I do. We both do. And I ain't as pretty as I once was. I'm not. And Ric Flair ain't either. That's what happens to life, right? We still think we are. We look in the mirror and the guys are the worst, right? We can have like a 4-foot beer gut, or root beer gut, I guess you'd say, and the pizza and wings, and we're like this, and ain't combed her hair in three days, and well, I look good. You girls pick yourself apart too much. You need to have confidence like Grant does. But this is preaching. I hope you see that. I've took the punishment. I'm not as young as I once was. I'm not as pretty as I once was. I've made some mistakes. I don't have the clean, squeaky, clean reputation maybe I once had. I got some issues. But doggone it, I'm still standing here. And I'm the Ram. I'm still standing here. And I'm Ric Flair to the day I die. I'm still standing here, and I'm still Caleb, and I'll still whip them giants. I'm still standing here, and I'm Brother Billy, and I'll be Brother Billy till they carry me out of this place, or till Jesus comes and gets me. Because he knew who he was. If you know in this room who your God is, then nothing's going to stop us. I said us. Are you with me? I'm with you. Are you with me? Y'all never forget Caleb again. And that's why Jesus preached that way. He used analogies in our everyday life so you would remember and understand and relate. I could just preach about characters that you don't know, but when I relate it to things you do know, now you remember and you can relate to it. If you know who your God is, we're going all the way. Because if you know who your God is, you know who you are, and you know he's not finished with you yet, and you know every promise he ever made conditionally will be met if you meet your condition, which is just keep going. Just keep going and keep knowing who you are. And when you fall, just get back up. When you fall, you get back up. You ain't as pretty as you once was. You took some punishment. You messed up a time or two. You don't hear as good as you once were. You're not as shiny as you once were. But you're still standing. And you're still here. Get up. You're standing here. And God's still got purpose in you. He's not done with you. If you're in this room and you have a heartbeat, you're still standing. And if you're standing, you will win in the end because you know who you are. And as great as Ric Flair is as a cultural icon, he's not the real champion of all time. The greatest champion of all time is still sitting on the throne, and his name is still Jesus. His name is still Jesus. His name is still Jesus. Give him praise right now. Give him praise right now. He's still on the throne. He's still the undefeated, undisputed champion of all time. He defeated death, hell, and the grave. And his blood is sufficient to cover every sin ever committed on the face of this planet. And because he lives, I live, and I'm still standing here today. If you know him, then you know who you are. Then you need to be standing right now. I said you need to be standing right now. If you have any strength in your legs, and if you don't, God says stand, because you're still standing here. I want you to feel the weight. I want you to feel your feet on the floor. And I want you to know that you're still standing. I'm not rushing this moment. We're about done, but hang on. Just feel it. Remember every promise. Remember every God dream that was ever breathed into you. That's your promised land. And you're on the edge of it today. And he's saying, just know me and know who you are and run down that tunnel one more time. Just run down that aisle one more time, because you've paid the price and you failed once or twice, but you're still standing and you're still his child. Every eye closed, still stand. If you want to walk in that identity and you want to burst through that tunnel, and you want to go into that destiny, and you want to go in that promised land, and you want that to happen, and you know that's going to happen, I want you to put your hand in the air. Put it in the air. Say, I know who I am. I know who my God is. I know who I am. I know who my God is. Hold it there. Switch hands. Almost every hand in the room, maybe they all are. They're up. That means that there's some people ready to burst into your destiny today. There's some people ready to burst in your destiny today. Have you ever seen a tunnel? When a fighter enters a tunnel, it's dark on one side, but you burst through that curtain and the light erupts and you walk into the greatest battle. You walk into your destiny. I'm going to count to three. And if you're still standing, I want you to run down this aisle. You say, excuse me, but I got to hit the ring. You say, excuse me, but I got to be what God made me to be. If you're going to be timid, it ain't going to happen. If you're going to be a baby about it, it ain't going to happen. You got to want it. You got to want it. Today is the day. Are you ready? One, get ready to move. I want you to move. Two, move like you know who you are. Move like you know who your God is. Three, move. Move, burst, run down that aisle,
You run. Don't you walk. You run. You push. You push. Your destiny is waiting. Life is waiting. Your destiny is waiting. Hallelujah. Your destiny is waiting. Oh, you're here for a purpose. You're here for a purpose. And you may not know what that purpose is, but He does. And all I'm saying is, don't you quit. Don't you get discouraged. Don't you quit. The greatest is yet to come. Destiny's yet to come. Oh, hallelujah. I thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord, that your promises are forever and ever. Amen and amen. Oh, I thank you, Lord, that the promises you made years ago, you're still here. And we're still here. And we're not quitting.